Well, let's go to the Bible, and I want you to go back. Let's go to Acts chapter 6, just review all these first six verses, Acts chapter 6, where we have what we believe would be the first time in the Bible where there were deacons that were ordained for such a cause as this. And the word deacon means it is diakonos. It literally means servant. And when we have the pastor, the overseer, the bishop, that type thing, that's what it means. It's talking about the overseer. These are men that come alongside with the pastor to help him out, to carry out the work of the church, and to take care of a lot of the business that the pastor just cannot take care of, and his priority has to be to study, prepare messages, and then minister to the people of the church. But Acts chapter 6, verse 1 again, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." They were trying to take care of these widows, and some felt like they were not being taken care of as the other group of a different ethnic group. "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." These were the apostles and the preachers. And they said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among ye seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, men that have proven by their life that they're filled with the Spirit of God and the fruit is there. Not that they're perfect, but filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." They're again emphasizing they're coming up alongside the pastor so that he doesn't have to take care of all of these things, and they can assist and help in doing that and in serve the church. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And notice what they did, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." And then, if you will, I'd like for you to go to 1 Timothy, just a second. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and drop down to verse 8. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 8. As we read these verses, he's given the requirements of a bishop, the pastor, the overseer, and they're very rigid requirements, and they should be adhered to. Then in verse 8, he says, "Likewise, like the pastor, like the bishop, the overseers of those local churches, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued." They're to be serious-minded, not double-tongued, say one thing in the meetings, another thing outside, or say one thing to you and another thing to someone else. "Not given to much wine," I'll let you handle that one, "not greedy of filthy lucre." In other words, their motivation in life should not be to make money. That shouldn't be the thing that drives them, especially filthy lucre, making it in a dishonest way. There's nothing wrong with having wealth as long as you use it for the glory of God and get it right, and you receive it in the right way. But he says they are to hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Well, the mystery of the faith is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. And the deacons are supposed to be soul winners, and they have this truth in their earthen vessels, and they're supposed to be witnesses. They have the mystery of faith, and they're to hold it in a pure conscience. They're to do something with it and have a clean life to go along with it. "And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless." Now, underscore that word blameless. It doesn't mean perfection, because none of us are perfect. But it does mean that people have the right to look at them and expect that deacons, the leaders of the church, and that's what they are in these offices, that their lives are above board, that they live what they say, and that they do their very best to carry out the things of the Lord and follow the Lord's leadership. Not that they are perfect, but that they are blameless. Nobody should be able to come up to them and say, we know that there's sin in your life, you're practicing that sin, and you need to quit being a deacon. And so it doesn't mean they have to be perfect, but it does mean that they have to have a great reputation, and one that is valued by themselves and also valued by their family and the church. And so these are some of the requirements that God has placed on them, but then he goes on now and includes their wives. That's always factored into those that are nominated and then approved. Even so, verse 11 says, must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things, sober in their thinking, faithful in serving the Lord in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. And that's not just one at a time, but and it's not talking about not being guilty of polygamy, but the ideal is that there's one man for one woman for a lifetime, and that's a very strong requirement that is placed upon them. And he says they've used the office. Oh, let the deacons be, verse 12, the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. They're to be in charge, and it's to be known they are in the right way. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, that have done it right, correctly, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so it is a high office. I believe it is a biblical office. Some churches do not have deacons, but I believe it's biblical. And quite frankly, I need them. And I need good men. And we have good men. I've been here 18 years, and we've had great deacons. I want to tell you that. And that's not always the case, I promise you. Not always the case. And I've had some of the other kind, and I call them demons, not deacons. But at any rate, a lot of them were good men, but there's always some that can really just not understand. And there have been those who've gotten that office and it went to the head and they thought it was their calling to run everything, but that's not the biblical order of whatever is there. But the laying on of hands is a Bible custom, and that's why we do it. Seven times we know there in the New Testament at least that is shown, and mostly for the ordination of preachers, but the one time here for these deacons. Now, I think it's really something to be a deacon. I really do. And I think it's a high calling. And I believe the church ought to look at that office as a high calling and a high office for these men to fulfill, being servants of the church and servants of the Lord. And I think it's one of the two biblical offices that the Lord gives us as he teaches us in the Bible. And so, in my case, it's the office of being a pastor. I've been a pastor 45 years, full-time service 48 years, all of that period of time. And I want to promise you, I really never get used to being a pastor, to that high calling and the pressing responsibility that is there. And oftentimes I wish I were a better pastor and all of those things, but God gifts us in different ways, and we serve the Lord as He's called us. And I'm glad, I'm thankful tonight that God called me into the ministry. But I've never taken it for granted, and I promise you I've never really gotten used to it. I still pray hard on Sunday morning and get nervous before I preach a little bit. You say, that's not faith. Well, faith overrules the nervousness, but there's usually a little butterfly or two in my stomach before I get up to preach. And I have to depend on God. That's not all bad, is it? To really know that you have to depend on God. But it's an office that Jesus started. It's an office that is part of what the Bible says. Bishop, pastor, episcopos, all of those words are talking about an overseer. And that's why our independent Bible-believing fundamental churches usually have strong pastoral leadership. just like Dr. Barber for 35 years, and then his brother before that, and then me following as the pastor. But then there's that second office of being a deacon, being a servant of the Lord, and it's a place of honor. And I believe it's a place of honor at this church. I believe we have a good church, an excellent church, and a church that God has blessed. Oh, we're not the biggest in the Metroplex, but I believe we're the best. No, I believe we have a good church. And I believe it is an honor for these men to be pulled out and singled out and voted on and approved by the church to be deacons in this church, Worth Baptist Church. Worth Baptist Church has only had three pastors. Well, somewhere along there, there was a short term, but basically three long-term pastors that have been here at this church. And it's a great honor for these men to be deacons, I believe, at Worth Baptist Church, a Bible-believing church, one that upholds the Word of God. They believe what this church believes. We've talked to them. What do you believe about the virgin birth? And what do you believe about separation? What do you believe about the Word of God and all of those cardinal doctrines? And they are right down the line on their beliefs and what they believe. And what they believe that office really is. And so tonight, this church is setting you apart for the office of deacon. Now, someone says, well, they were already deacons in other churches. The local church is the approving body of deacons in that church. And it doesn't carry on from church to church and place to place. It is a local church thing that I believe is there, primarily in that local church for this office. There might be some who disagree with that, but when they get to heaven, they'll find out I'm right and they're wrong. But at any rate, we're going to set them aside for office now. And even if anybody's ever served in that office, they're to be honored. We have men that, since I've been here, because of health reasons, have had to drop out. But these men are men of honor. And there are times that we have them stand, times that we recognize them also because they have served faithfully in the past. And as I mentioned, the way you become a deacon is through the process that we have. And our deacons are not chosen because they're wealthy. They're not chosen because of their educational level. They're not chosen because of their popularity. They're not chosen because of their social standing. A lot of churches choose people that way. And I've seen some that were chosen that way that really didn't qualify. But because they had money, because they had prestige in the community. And I know what I'm talking about. I was raised in a Baptist denomination, a different denomination, a different Baptist group. And I can tell you that they had deacons that drank. They had deacons that cussed. And that type thing, and they didn't think anything about it. But that's not that we did not ask these men because of their financial position, education, or their social standing, but mainly because they have been actively involved in the church ministries, soul winning visitation, that type thing, in many other areas of service, and they met the requirements laid down in the Bible. And that's important, that they meet the requirements that are laid down in the Word of God. And we believe that they have. And they had to be unanimously approved by these men that you see up here, the deacons that are on the platform, all of these men, unanimously approving these and screening them and the questions about their wives and all of that. Now, we have deacons meetings at least once a month, and I enjoy that. We sometimes have more than one a month, but most of the time it's the second Tuesday in every month that we meet, and we'll meet at 7 o'clock, and sometimes we'll go to 9, sometimes 10. Sometimes we've gone a little longer, depending on what we're going through. The building program, some of those things take a whole lot longer and a whole lot more decisions. We enjoy meeting as deacons. We have a lot of laughter. We have a lot of frivolity. We really do, a lot of nonsense sometimes. But we never, never forget In all of that, we do not forget the seriousness of the office and handling it, coming back online with sobriety and knowing that what we're doing is the business of God. I read about a family that had a little baby that was born, and the baby, they were told, was going to die. Well, that family kept laughing and enjoying each other and having frivolity and all of that, but not one time did they ever forget the seriousness of the fact that that little baby was going to die. And so we understand. We have a good time. We have grapes and peanuts and strawberries and cookies and coffee and Pepsi, and a couple of them have diet drinks. They need them and that kind of thing. But we enjoy it. But we're doing God's business. And we have plans. We discuss things. I give the men, Miss Stephanie and I give them a full financial report every month. And we have all of the income, all the outgo, all the reports are given there. And if you ever want to know what it is, you ask them or me, and we'll be glad to let you see it. But we have so many different things there that we cover that in the deacons' meeting and try to take care of the business of the church. And that way, the deacons certainly have that burden on their heart. They want what's best for the church. It's never what's best for just the pastor or an individual deacon or one individual family. What is best for the church? What is best for the cause of Christ? And that's the way these men have looked at it. And I thank God for them. I really couldn't accomplish as a pastor what gets accomplished without these men. No way in the world. And there's so many different things that we're involved in. And now we have a new ministry where we're going to help out people who have needs. We'll tell you more about that. We have a trailer. We've put about $30,000 worth of equipment in it. Some of it's been given to us. The police department even gave us some walkie-talkies and that kind of thing, and a number of different things. And also, if there's a tragedy in our community, we're set up to take that trailer out and help out. And they told us when we talked to them, the CERT people, can we give out gospel tracts? And they said, oh, yes, we want you to. Anytime you go out and do that in the name of the Lord, that's all right. And you can give out those gospel tracts. And they were all for that. And I thank God that we're involved in a number of those things. And, of course, lay people besides the deacons can be involved in that also. And we're certainly going to need some help in those areas. But they'll be heading that up primarily in the deacon board. Now, the laying on of hands, first mention of that, I think, is in Deuteronomy 34:9. And we read about that. The Bible says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And so you had Moses and Joshua, and then you have the other men that are represented there. And so, sort of like us, we'll use sort of the same procedure tonight. And Joshua, the Bible says, received wisdom. The laying on of hand does not give any kind of special power to these men, but it's certainly requesting from God that God bless them and lead them and give them wisdom and that type of thing. And that's all needed. Budgets need wisdom. And finances, and when problems come up in the church, and they do come up, by the way. Anytime you have human beings, you're going to have problems. And you have everything from church discipline to trying to work out some things with people who maybe have gotten crossways. A lot of different things come in there. All of these things enter into that and call leading the church. And in this, we know that human talent alone is not enough. It isn't just having human talent alone. These men, and that's what Acts said, and that's what Timothy says, they are to be men filled with the Holy Spirit. Men that are anointed by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. And that's so important that that happens. And Acts chapter 19, let me turn there. In verse 6, Acts 19 and verse 6, the Bible says in this verse, verse number 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues or languages and prophesied. Now, that was in the early church, and they needed the languages then, and that was part of it, and that was a sign gift that was given for them during that day. Now, our guys better not speak in tongues tonight, but it ought to be languages that you can understand, and certainly you understand that was the early church, and there was a need for that. We don't have that need anymore, and we're taught that, I think, very clearly in the Word of God. But it's so important that they do that. And so in Acts 8:17, you have the same thing. In Acts 6:6 and 7, you have the deacons that are there, the pastor's helpers. And again, the word deacon means it is diakonos, and that literally means servant, a servant of God, a servant of the church. In the early church, you know that they were brought out and called out to do what? To help the pastors. And the pastor said, we've got to be given to the Word. We've got to have time to study and do all of that, and many other things, of course. But we need your help, and you can take care of this business of the church. In Acts 13:13, the Bible says, now when Paul and his company had loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And they talked about what they had done as far as the people in helping them out. And they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them. They sent them away, Acts 13:13. Paul, Barnabas, and the church, and they went out to the mission field. So all of this is part of it. And Timothy says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect the gift that is in thee. God has gifted them, and they need to use that for the glory of God. And then in 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, how? By the putting on of my hands. You know, really and truly, those requirements for a deacon, pastor too almost, are requirements that ought to be true of all of us. Now, the women, there are certain limitations, but I'm talking about within the purview of what it said about them and the men, that really it ought to be true that every man in this church that qualifies for it ought to desire and meet those standards as a Christian every day of our lives to serve the Lord. And these have just been those that are singled out in this particular area. But all of those spiritual traits are traits that we all need. And may God help us to not just read it in light of them, but in light of ourselves, as we read those chapters and those verses, especially there in Timothy. And I thank God for these men. They've proven themselves. They've helped. They've been here. They've taught. They are teaching. They do whatever they need to do and go out on visitation, try to win souls to the Lord. I like that, and I like that in leadership. And I'm glad, and I'm just very honored that these men have been placed here tonight in the fellowship of our deacons. Now I'm going to ask them to join their wives right down front. Nancy and Beverly, if you would stand down front with your husbands. And I want these guys, and Tom, you got your camera ready? Right down this way, facing the congregation, right in the middle. And one right there and one right there. Now I think they ought to give them a big kiss, don't you? Right now. Wait. All right, did you get it? Brother Gaiman got to do better than that. All right. Now, we want you, let's stand. And I want you, after we have our closing prayer, to come by, if you can take the time to do that, and tell them you'll be praying for them, and do that. And encourage them, and just say a word of encouragement to them, and that'll be a blessing to them. Amen? Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for the Word of God that leads us and guides us in all things, and leads us about the offices in the local New Testament church. We know that the church is an autonomous body, self-governing, local church. And these men have been added to this fellowship of deacons, this office that we believe you set apart there in Acts chapter 6 and gave precedent for it. And Lord, we just pray now you would bless the Arneys, and pray, dear God, that you would bless the Gaymans and help them as they serve in these capacities. Thank you for our deacons, and bless us. Give us wisdom to help lead this church in a way that pleases you, number one, first and foremost. Then, God, give us wisdom to help and love one another and win souls and make a difference getting people into the kingdom. We pray and ask this in our Savior's name. Amen.